Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I took a nap on Tuesday evening, and I think that I hit the snooze button 5 times, I think, which is unfortunate for everyone else in the house that was also sleeping. And so by the time I managed to fall out from underneath the nice warm covers, the flannel sheets, realized, a rut-row, I'm running a little bit late. So I'm going to try not to sound discombobulated, but kind of works out for the hump show, since this is generally, for me, I think physically the toughest night of the week. It always has been. This one, and then sometimes Wednesday nights, I go back and forth, but these are usually the hardest nights, coming off of a weekend and all the football or whatever else is going on and wanting to have a break. It feels like I need a weekend from my weekend, but football season doesn't really allow for that, as you know. And so this hump show, boom, face plant right into it. I've done it, which is okay if it's snowing and it's a soft place to land. We do have some snow, a lot of snow still on the ground in our neighborhood. And speaking of that, I thought it would be fun because right now in parts of the country that never get snow, there is snow on the ground. And I've seen a ton of pictures, not just from my own family. So my mom and her husband in Houston, we've got family members now in other parts of Texas like Austin and College Station. And so it's been really cool to see the photos of snow at my mom's house and other places in Texas that don't typically get it. But watching people react to the snow in places like New Orleans and Pensacola, so the Florida panhandle, but other parts of Florida too, they're just not used to this. Alabama, pretty incredible. So I'd love to hear your story or to hear from you. If you've seen snow in your area, because I know we have a bunch of great affiliates all over the southern tier, the southern half of our country. And actually, some friends of mine that live in North Carolina, they're expecting a little bit of snow potentially. So if you're dealing with snow or you're experiencing snow or you're reveling in snow or you have pictures of snow or you played in snow for the first time or the first time in a long time on Tuesday, I would love to hear from you because I think it's pretty neat. I know a lot of times in the more southern cities and climes and locales, they don't know how to deal with the snow, which is kind of the hard part, is that the municipalities, the cities, the counties, they're not necessarily ready to plow or to salt or to de-ice the roads, even if it is an inch. I remember one time I was trying to fly from Birmingham to Charlotte and then back up to the Northeast after working a game in Birmingham. And maybe it wasn't snow, but it was ice at the time. And so the entire airport shut down in Birmingham. It wasn't prepared to deal with the ice. And then same thing in Charlotte. So it's a whole big saga, actually. One of those times where I got into a car with someone I did not know, meaning I rented a car and there was only one car and there was a guy who needed to go to Atlanta as well. And so we had met each other for all of 5 minutes standing in line trying to redo our reservations and realized we both needed to go to Atlanta. It's actually the first year that I was hosting After Hours. So it's, now 12 years ago. Anyway, we got into a vehicle and drove from Birmingham to Atlanta and didn't know each other at all. Probably looking back, I don't think I would do that. But at the time, I really needed to get to Atlanta. And I felt bad because he did too. Anyway, snow pics, weather pics. I hope that you're enjoying it. It'll be gone soon once your temperatures warm up. It'll be like a little bit of spring snow, which is what we call it when we Northeasterners, or just anyone who deals with snow, what we call it when it snows maybe 4 or 5 inches, and then by the afternoon or by the next day, it's all gone because the temps warm up so quickly. But I hope mostly that you enjoyed it, especially if it came with a snow day where you got to work from home or you got to stay home from school, keep the kids at home. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It is our hump show. And yes, it is middle show of the work week, which means you get to ask Amy anything. And in honor of so many parts of our country dealing with extreme cold or extreme winter conditions, extreme can be an inch of snow if you've never dealt with it before. If you don't have a shovel, how about that? You get a couple inches of snow, but you don't have a shovel. You don't have an ice scraper for your car. You don't have a brush to wipe the snow off your vehicle. In the case of my best friend who lives in Atlanta area, she doesn't even have a winter coat anymore because they just don't deal with the extreme cold. And I know when my husband moved to New Jersey, he didn't have a winter coat either, not really needing one in Texas. And then, oh goodness, the zipper broke on the warmest coat he has. And so now he feels like he can't leave the house. So if it's extreme for you, then it's extreme. But in honor of that, we'll do a bit of an icy theme. I don't know what that means. Kind of like a frozen theme, I guess. So you can find our post. It's the bright orange box with the yellow thought bubble. You can find that post up on either of our social media sites. So at Amy After Hours. And I know I retweeted it as well at A-Law Radio. And then also on our Facebook page. And our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. So, yeah, share your winter slash snow stories with me. It's been kind of fun to see some of the pictures from places where we don't normally get them. It was a really special day for three players that you know. Now, there are other members of the Hall of Fame, or other new inductees, I should say, but three players that you likely know and remember if you are my age or younger. Some more recent generation players getting their invites into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And you can dispute the process and dislike that the voting comes from the Baseball Writers Association of America, just in their defense. And I would agree at times the process has been wonky in the past and way too political in the past. And I don't mean political as in Republican and Democrat and conservative and liberal. I mean political in that people are out for specific agendas, specific goals, as opposed to being objective about it. And so the politics of wanting one person or this person in and not wanting this person in, that type of thing, or feeling like there's negotiating tactics to it. So in the past, it's been a system that was overtly political and not necessarily fair and certainly not always objective. But more recently, the baseball writers have cleaned up the process and also have removed a lot of voters that are no longer in touch, removed a lot of voters that weren't doing their due diligence or who seemed to have agendas. And so the process is improved from what it used to be. I have no idea why Ichiro does not end up as a unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer. But I do know that he's in just the same. And I suppose it could be an all-out manhunt for the one writer who left him off the ballot. And maybe at some point we'll find out who that is. A lot of people make their ballots public. A lot of people choose to even post them on social media. For instance, and I'll actually go look it up now, we, every now and then, at least once a season, we'll have the great baseball writer Bob Nightingale on our show. He's longtime, well, he's an Odyssey insider now, but he's longtime with USA Today as a columnist and someone who covers games. And he shared his ballot with a photo going back about 12 hours ago. And it's a simple page with the names and the boxes. And you actually do check the boxes. And there's even a spot at the bottom. So it'll be interesting to see how much of this becomes viral or becomes news 2 weeks after the results are announced. Because there's a spot at the bottom that says, it's an option. Do you wish that the BBWAA make public your vote 14 days after results are announced? And Bob checked, yes. So you can make your vote public, or you can allow the Baseball Writers Association to do it for you. And then there's these qualifications at the bottom, too. In fact, if you allow someone to vote for you, if you don't take care of your privilege, cultivate and care for the privilege to vote, well, you could lose it. In fact, you could be subject to discipline. But going back to Nightingale, there are three columns of names that are listed. And he has just simple check marks in the columns. You can only vote for a certain number. You're not required to vote for 10, but you may not vote for more than 10. So up to 10 with your discretion. He voted for Ichiro, CeCe Sabathia, Omar Vizquel, Carlos Beltran, Andrew Jones, and Billy Wagner, which is neat because Billy is in his final year of eligibility, at least through this process. So you'll see the ballots out there. And at some point, maybe we'll find out who and why one person, one writer did not include Ichiro. I'm going to believe, maybe this is me just being naive or trying to be, I don't know. I don't want to judge people when I don't know their reasons and really try not to judge people anyway. But maybe, just maybe, it was a mistake. Maybe, just maybe, it wasn't intentional to leave Ichiro off of the one ballot. Have you ever accidentally put something in the mail and once you seal up the envelope, you think, dang it, shoot, I messed up. I've done that before. And then had to decide whether or not, actually sometimes it's a mistake on the address. And I decide, do I want to use whiteout? Do I want to start over? Do I want to open it up? Do I want to waste the stamp? Oh man, once you put the stamp on it, then it's all a whole new ball game. So congratulations to Ichiro, because he's going in regardless of whether or not he got all 394 votes. 393 out of 394. Yankees closer, longtime Yankees closer, Mariano Rivera, is the unanimous selection that people point to because he's the one. But now Suzuki gets to be Ichiro. I mean, I would say some people don't even know his last name. Ichiro is right there with Derek Jeter. Because Derek Jeter also missed out on being unanimous by a single vote. So it is ridiculous, that's for sure. At the same time, he's still in, no doubt. And he's part of this class of 2025. So it was kind of a trend on social media to see people reacting to him not being unanimous, but he's in regardless. And on the same day, the Mariners have announced that they will retire his number. And in seeing his reaction to the announcement, thank you to Donna for sending it to my attention. There's a video out there. He was visibly emotional, understandably emotional. Do we have the Ken Griffey Jr.? So I don't know if you guys saw this. I know we'll have it if we don't already have it. But Ken Griffey Jr. did a neat video on Mariners social media welcoming him and congratulating him. Was really cool. Okay, cool. Producer Pete has it.
Hey, Ichiro. Congratulations on being named to the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's an unbelievable honor. Edgar and I couldn't be more proud of you. We met in 95. We've been good friends ever since then. Just want to let you know that it is a privilege and an honor to share the hall with you.
How about that? Really neat. I came across that just when I was looking at some of the different videos of these guys getting the news. And these are some of my favorite videos that I'll ever see on social media, right up there with baby animal videos. When the calls are made and these guys find out, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, whatever it is. But baseball, I would say, is a tough one to get into, especially if you're not one of those automatic first ballot guys. And in this case, Ichiro is, but Billy Wagner not. So good stuff. Lots of stories being told about Ichiro and his personality. And I think to a lot of fans, he was a bit of a mystery. He is the first Japanese-born player elected to our National Baseball Hall of Fame. And opened, I would say he opened the door to new heights, new ideas, new opportunities. Not that the door wasn't open for international players, because it certainly was, but the way that he came here and excelled, obviously he's the first Hall of Famer, but the way that he found a home here and the way that he left such an imprint and such an impact on Major League Baseball, his longevity, of course, as well. I suppose it could be a debate, but it feels like he's the one that threw those doors open, or if you will, kicked the door down. And probably to other Japanese players, really paved a path that maybe it was a dirt road before that, or wasn't expected, or wasn't thought of as quite so accessible or quite so available. But now look, it's every year. And we know that the more athletes that come from a particular country, the more that it becomes palatable or attractive to others. Especially when you think about coming from another country. And if there's no one here or no one in your sport who talks like you or understands your culture and traditions, it's a harder sell, right? But Ichiro kind of opened that door, and now, just using Japan as an example, we obviously have many others who are great players, and they're not alone, which is why I think they are congregating, some of them are congregating on the Dodgers, because they're not alone. So congratulations to Ichiro, a trailblazer to be sure, a pioneer to be sure, and now a Hall of Famer. By a near unanimous vote. I hope whoever decided to leave him off the ballot didn't do it just because there would be that stipulation and that person would know. I'm going to hope it was an accident, that it wasn't intentional, because I can't really come up with another reason, especially when you can vote for up to 10. Be different if you had to select 2 or 3. But this is a process that allows you to vote for up to 10. So Ichiro, CeCe Sabathia, if you haven't seen the video of CeCe getting the call, he had an entire entourage with him. It was awesome. Family, friends waiting for that call. They all went nutso. It reminded me of the COVID NFL draft, where even though there were these, I'm using my air quotations, rules about how many people you could have in your home, and you have neighbors who would tattle on you if you had too many people in your home, the houses were crowded with people in some cases, and they're hiding in other rooms. And then the announcement was made and the young man's name was called for the NFL draft, and you would hear people screaming from the other rooms in the house. And then they'd come pouring out. Yeah, it reminded me of that. It was a big, huge gathering, and it was pretty cool. So congratulations to CeCe Sabathia. But I got to tell you, my favorite is the Billy Wagner moment. So we'll talk about that coming up. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. But if you want to send your questions in for Ask Amy, I would say easiest way at Amy After Hours, because that way you'll go directly to producer Pete. Also, you can still vote for our TD of the week. Before the hour is done, we'll let you hear those candidates again. That polling goes on for another hour. So whether it's Ask Amy or TD of the week, we've got news from the world of football. Ben Johnson getting a warm welcome in Chicago, and more on the NFL coaching carousel. Plus, because Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are both analysts now, we get their reactions to what we saw over divisional weekend. Glad to have you with us. Middle show of the work week. If I can do it, you can do it. Let's go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Our first selectee was a 10-time Major League All-Star, a 10-time Gold Glove Award winner, and a 2-time American League batting champion, becoming the 30th member of the 3,000-hit club over 19 seasons with the Seattle Mariners, New York Yankees, and Florida Marlins. Today, Ichiro Suzuki becomes a member of the National Baseball Hall of Fame. He came to Seattle in 2001 after winning 7 Pacific League batting titles with the Oryx Blue Wave of Nippon Professional Baseball, and immediately made a major impact.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
He's the first Japanese-born player to reach the National Baseball Hall of Fame, but he will not be the last. Now, I'm not one of those people that needs to jump ahead to future Hall of Famer, certain Hall of Famer, headed for the Hall of Famer type of thing when a guy is really early in their career. I'm not a voter. But if I were a voter, longevity matters to me. And so I hate, well, hate's a strong word. I'm not a big fan. I dislike it when
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
People start sending athletes to the Hall of Fame after one or two good seasons. That to me is jumping the gun a bit. But I'm pretty confident in saying that we'll likely see other Japanese players into our National Baseball Hall of Fame. And of course, your brain immediately jumps to the dude who's already wrecking the league, first in the American League as an MVP, now in the National League. And what is he up to these days? Actually, he's about to become a dad. So that's kind of fun. So Ichiro, to me, was the one who busted the door down. And as I say, turned a dirt road maybe into a paved road, a highway. And the success opening the door, not just in the eyes of Japanese players and their families and understanding that the transition could be made and could be made successfully, but how about Major League Baseball clubs? Who, of course, for years have had academies or different pipelines, ways to recruit baseball players in Hispanic countries, but looking for other options, wanting to grow the game even more so internationally. It's pretty incredible to think about the number of countries that now have athletes who are in Major League Baseball. And it's no doubt going to continue expanding. But yes, Shohei Ohtani, if he plays a few more years, we haven't even seen him pitch yet for the Dodgers, but he plays a few more years, we're likely going to see him also as a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now, Ichiro, through a translator, talked about what it means to be elected, and all of this from MLB Network.
I can't imagine that it would get to this point where I would be today. You know, there was a time that I didn't even know that I would be even getting a chance to play in the MLB. And so what an honor it is for me to be here and be a Hall of Famer. It's a special day.
Congratulations to Ichiro. Interesting stories, as I say, that we were seeing online during the day. There's one, actually, I think it was on Alex Rodriguez, his Twix. So I have to read this to you because it's kind of funny. Okay, so, and A-Rod has said in the last 6 hours, this, in fact, was a true story. It came from Peter Gammons, the great baseball writer and insider. I worked with him for years when I was in the New England area covering the Red Sox. One morning in spring training, 2017, Ichiro was in the coach's room looking at his cell phone text messages. Again, this comes from Peter Gammons, or told through Peter Gammons. Ichiro told the coaches about one message he had just received from a number he didn't recognize. The guy said he'd gotten Ichiro's number from Alex Rodriguez, and that he wanted to come meet him and study his stretching system. Okay, so Ichiro gets a text. It's a number he doesn't recognize. The person who's texting him said, I got your number from A-Rod. Is that a positive or a negative? I'm not sure. I got your number from A-Rod. I'd like to come meet you and study your stretching system. One of the coaches says, what's the guy's name? Ichiro scrolls down to the end of the text as the story goes from Peter Gammons. Quote, some guy named Tom Brady. Who the bleep is Tom Brady? That's amazing. I love these kinds of stories because in the United States, you don't even have to be a sports fan to know who Tom Brady is because he was married to a supermodel and he's Tom Brady, right? He transcends sports. It's like not knowing who LeBron is. And yet in the United States, we obviously become very ethnocentric. And so we know our athletes, and there are people all over the world who have no idea who LeBron and Tom Brady are, or other. I mean, Tiger Woods, a different story because he traveled and played all over the world. But how about that story? Who the bleep is Tom Brady? I love that. Love that. I've also seen a video. Marco Belletti's here in studio. I know you love baseball too. I've seen a video of the first time that Pedro Martinez and Ichiro met. And it was kind of neat. I'm not sure if it was part of an all-star festivity or something along those lines. It was clearly a prearranged meeting. Either one of them had asked. And so it's just the two of them in a room with a couple of other people who were kind of filming it. Huh. But they never met before. And Ichiro speaks Espanol to Pedro, which is kind of fun. But they're both speaking English, and that's the thing. We know, I mean, Ichiro speaks great English. His teammates would talk about it. Every now and then we'd hear him speak English. But tell me if you agree with this, and maybe it's more just like a generational thing. But he wasn't the first Japanese player here in Major League Baseball, right? But the first to really pave the road to make it like mainstream success, or can you think of someone else?
Because he was the first position player, though. I can't think of a position player that came before Ichiro. The first Japanese player that I could think of is Hideo Nomo.
Right, there pitchers, right?
Yeah, and that, I mean, that opened the door. Nomo, that was enormous. He had the no-hitter with Dodgers. I think it was like 95 when he came over. So that was huge. But Ichiro was different because it was a position player, and back then it was still kind of the idea that can they really transform from the Japanese game, which is different. Everything's, well, it's just baseball. It's not. The ball's different. The game is different. The travel. There's a lot of differences between the Japanese game and the American game. So there was still the trepidation. And then when Ichiro, I remember his rookie year, was kind of like, well, what's the big deal? He just slaps the ball around. And then you watched him play. And as the year went on, you started to understand how good he truly was. And then it just went from there.
One of the thing I loved about Ichiro watching him hit is that there wasn't a ball he couldn't hit. Didn't matter where it was. There wasn't a ball he couldn't do something with, put in play, I guess, whether it was a hard hit, whether it was a slapper, as you talk about. At times, it almost looked like, and if you watch softball, you know that there are ways that, like, people drag, softball hitters, they'll drag, they can go oppo. It really depends upon the placement of the ball, but also how they approach it. And a lot of times I felt like his hits, or just putting the ball in play, was so similar to what you would see from softball hitters.
When he was also halfway out of the box at the left-handed right. bat. So if you put the ball on the ground, you're going to have to hustle to be able to get him. But the only thing, that was his game. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it wasn't, but you know, almost like Wade Boggs, he had sneaky power. If Ichiro wanted to, he can sit back.
Sneaky power.
He did. He had the ability to drive the ball if he wanted to, but he knew his job at the top of the lineup was to get on base for other guys to drive him in. And he knew what his job was, and he was great at it. But again, similar to Boggs in his heyday when he was at the top of the lineup, and he did a great job as a leadoff guy in a different era that people didn't realize because he walked so much, how good he was, even though he had no speed. If he wanted to, he can sit back and he could pull the ball and he can drive it out of the ballpark. And they would say, like, Boggs would put on displays in batting practice. Ichiro did the same thing. Guys had sneaky power, but they knew their role. And Ichiro was, my role is to get on base. And he did it about as well as you could possibly do it. And, I mean, what was it? The 272 hits, the record that he was ridiculous. It was almost like a cheat code to get him on base. And, again, if he put the ball on the ground, especially to the left side, he was two steps out of the box before the ball was out of the infield. Anyway, it was ridiculous.
Do you remember the debate about whether or not he should be allowed to win Rookie of the Year? Mm-hmm. That was something else that kind of opened up, right? Because he was 27 years old when he got to baseball, or to MLB. And there was this whole big debate about how some people thought he shouldn't be eligible. Yep. He's not a rookie. He's played in Japan. He's a pro. He's been in the pro ranks for years. Yep. But ultimately, he did end up winning Rookie of the Year.
And who did he beat out? His fellow Hall of Famer in CeCe Sabathia.
Oh, that part I did not remember. Mm-hmm. Impressive. See Marco with his encyclopedia brain when it comes to sports. But he can't remember what he ate for breakfast 3 days ago.
Not a clue.
You probably didn't eat breakfast 3 days ago.
I imagine that I didn't. Because I don't eat breakfast that often.
So he came on the scene in 2001. Man, the Mariners, they loved him. I feel like it was a perfect fit for him, too, in Seattle.
And that was the team. That was the team that set the record with 116. Mm-hmm. And then get bounced in the playoffs. I mean, you look at that team as well, too. I mean, Griffey's gone. You know, A-Rod's gone. Ichiro shows up, and all of a sudden they wind up going on that run that they win 116 games. And he did. He fit it. He fit it perfectly. And he wins MVP, wins Rookie of the Year. I think only the second guy to do that other than Fred Lynn. I don't think there's anybody else since. I can't remember now that off the top of my head, but he was definitely the second to do it. Just an amazing, amazing career, and he burst onto the scene.
Mariners, Yankees, Marlins were the three teams he played with, but of course his Hall of Fame resume was really made with Seattle. Hit .311 with 117 home runs, 780 RBI, 509 stolen bases with those three teams, and then you throw in the 10-time All-Star and Gold Glove awards, the two batting championships, and so he'll become the third Mariner ever to have his jersey retired. And it was kind of neat because Ken Griffey Jr., we played the video, him congratulating him. So he and Edgar Martinez and now Ichiro, mm-hmm. kind of the Mariners triumvirate.
And the only thing that...
Sorry, A-Rod.
The only thing that kind of sucks is that we only saw him in the playoffs that one year.
Yes.
That's the part that it's tough because it takes away. I mean, he burst onto the scene, rookie of the year, MVP, they win 116 games. They didn't win the title, which is tough for Seattle, I'm sure. They set the record and not get to the championship. And we didn't see him back in the playoffs. All that time with Seattle, they couldn't get back in. He goes to the Yankees, where the Yankees live in the playoffs. He goes there during their downturn where mm-hmm. they can't get back into the playoffs. By the time he goes, the Yankees start to get back into it, but he's in Miami. It's a shame that you never got a chance to see him on the big stage again to truly appreciate how good he was.
Not an international player, but I feel the same way about Mike Trout. It sucks. We have not seen him in the postseason in a decade now. Something I talk about every year. One more thing about Ichiro, and this is really a hallmark of Japanese players. Their workout routines are legendary. I mean, they are rigid. They are strict. It's part, the work ethic is part of their culture, of course, but it's something that I've heard baseball players talk about for years, just the way that they are so committed to a routine that's mm-hmm. rigid. Get this. I didn't realize this until I was reading about him today. He still follows the same workout routine 5 years after he was retired.
I'm not surprised in the least. And if you've ever watched, I think he threw out a first pitch in full uniforms last year, the year before. Uh-huh. And they like clocked him at like 80 something miles an hour. And you could tell he wasn't even throwing that hard. Like he's one of those people that
of nature.
It's going to be right into the, he's an athlete true and true from the time he was born until he's just an amazing, ridiculous specimen. When you watch, I mean, again, have you ever seen the video, which, again, you could say, well, is it real? It's real. Where he has, I think it's five in a row where he's got the baseball bats lined up and he just gets the toss and he just throw after throw and he knocks over the bat. It's got to be a good 70, 80 feet away. The guy could just throw. He could just do everything.
Awesome.
There's nothing athletically that the guy can't do.
Ichiro and CC Sabathia were teammates and are now going into the Hall of Fame the same year, which is kind of cool. We'll take your calls, 855-212-4227. We'll talk more about Ichiro, CC Sabathia, but also Billy Wagner, which is a completely different story, but these are some of my favorites. 855-212-4227 at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Only three coaches have won at least 13 games twice in their first 3 years. George Seifert, Matt LaFleur, and Kevin O'Connell. And the Vikings are rewarding O'Connell with a multi-year contract extension. O'Connell, 34-17 in his 3 years, including a pair of playoff appearances. He remains in Minnesota long-term. Josh McDaniels reportedly on his way back to the Patriots as their offensive coordinator under Mike Vrabel. Now, third stint in this role for McDaniels. He won three Super Bowls in New England. Now he's going to help try to make Drake May their next franchise quarterback as well. Plenty of anticipation for the Chiefs and the Bills in the AFC Championship game. Buffalo getting here in part by their plus 24 turnover margin. Head coach Sean McDermott aware they're going to need to continue to do a good job with that ball security.
It's what we believe in. In terms of our approach to the game, it's easier said than done, I can tell you. I mean, the defenses in the league are so good. So it has to continue to be a point of emphasis for us every day.
Class of 2025 for the Baseball Hall of Fame has themselves three new members. Ichiro Suzuki, who was one vote shy of a unanimous selection. He's joined by CC Sabathia and Billy Wagner. Carlos Beltran finished just short, along with Andrew Jones, who still has 2 years left of eligibility. NBA LeBron James 21 as part of a triple-double. Anthony Davis 29 and 16 rebounds. Lakers pound the Wizards 111-88. Nuggets rock the Sixers 144-109. Nikola Jokic 27, his 18th triple-double of the season. Blazers down the Heat 116-107. DeAndre Ayton at 22 and 15 rebounds. Knicks erased the Nets 99-95 behind 25 and 16 boards from Karl Anthony Towns. Raptors disposed the Magic 109-93. Suns getting three first-round picks from the Jazz, that in exchange for a first-rounder in 2031. College hoops, Iowa State dominated UCF 108-83. Alabama punished Vanderbilt 103-87. Tennessee and Mississippi State 68-56. Marquette, no problems with Seton Hall, 76-59. Ohio State shocked Purdue, 83-70. UConn survives Butler 80-78 in overtime. Oregon dubbed Washington 82-71. And UCLA up into Wisconsin 85-83. I'm Marco Belletti.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
Second member of the class of 2025 won 251 games and struck out 3,093 batters during a 19-year career with the Cleveland Indians, Milwaukee Brewers, and New York Yankees. Today, CeCe Sabathia becomes a member of the Hall of Fame. A six-time All-Star and the 2007 American League Cy Young Award winner, he led the AL in victories in back-to-back seasons in 2009 and 2010, winning 20 games in the latter season to join the prestigious fraternity of Black Aces. He helped lead his team to the postseason in 10 different seasons, earning ALCS MVP honors in 2009 en route to a World Series championship with the Yankees.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On MLB Network, the announcement of CeCe Sabathia as another member, along with Ichiro, this 2025 Baseball Hall of Fame class. And what isn't part of that resume is, well, it's not written there, and I wouldn't expect it to be, but he also battled alcoholism and has become sober and has gotten much healthier. You may remember he was a real big dude. He carried a lot of extra weight and not ever going to be a small guy, of course, because of his frame. But he's in a much better place. Sometimes I see him now and I can barely recognize the pitcher he was when he was in Major League Baseball. But he was a workhorse. I mean, he dealt with a few injuries, but boy, he wanted the ball, which is something that I loved about him. And I remember him with the Brewers, but then, of course, with the Yankees. And that was one question that he was asked after the big reveal. And if you haven't seen the video, it's out there. Maybe we can share it on our show, Twix. But he's with a huge group, including wife and kids and family, and just the emotions pouring out of that room as he gets in on his first year of eligibility. And he did pitch for multiple teams, but he's chosen to wear a Yankees hat into the hall.
I don't think I would be sitting here today if I wasn't drafted by the Cleveland organization. I'm very thankful to Milwaukee for trading for me and, you know, having that run that I did there. But this is home, you know, the Bronx. I found a home in the Bronx, and you know, I don't think I'll ever leave this city. So I think it's only fitting.
Something else that I heard from him on Tuesday that I appreciated. And you know what? My husband asked me recently about going to the Hall of Fame because I've never been. He asked me why I've never been. And I actually had to think about it to come up with a reason why. It would seem like it should be required for someone who works in this business, but I haven't ever been to the Baseball Hall of Fame, though we do plan to do it this summer. But he was talking about the first time that he walked into the plaque room and that it was so overwhelming that he nearly cried. He got so emotional about it. And he said he had no idea how powerful that experience would be. He actually thinks all current players should be required to go to the Hall of Fame. And like I said, I think broadcasters should be as well. So congratulations to the great CeCe Sabathia, who was not only a survivor and a workhorse, obviously a dominant pitcher, but a larger-than-life personality. And people would talk about his leadership, even in the late stages of his career.
It means everything to me. I mean, just even to go in the Hall of Fame in general, you know, is a big honor. But to go in first ballot, I know what that means as a baseball player, and it's super exciting.
Now, again, those two guys, Ichiro and CeCe, first ballot. Don't have to wait through the stress of will I or won't I get in. Billy Wagner's story is different, so we'll talk about that next hour. But Kevin is in Oregon. Kevin, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. Hey, when I was a kid, I was growing up in Northern California. My grandfather used to take me to a bunch of San Francisco Giants games. And the first Japanese player that played in Major League Baseball was a guy named Masanori Murakami, pitched for 1 year for the Giants in 1964.
Nice. So you remember that?
Oh yeah, I remember that. I wanted to be Willie Mays when I was growing up.
Aww.
But anyway, thanks for the time.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you for that memory, Kevin, and good to have you listening to After Hours. Yeah, Ichiro wasn't the first. There were others who came before him, although I didn't realize as far back as 1964 without looking at it. But the difference is that Ichiro opened those doors up so wide and had such great success here and as a position player found a home and now is a Hall of Famer. So good stuff. I mean, I think part of getting older and having worked in this business for so long is that it's really neat that athletes that I've watched for years are getting into the Hall of Fame now and experiencing that. And I saw the entirety of their careers. I remember, Peyton Manning's a different thing, right? Because he was kind of part of a previous era in the NFL, and he was so beloved and then ended up with the Broncos at the second kind of stage of his career. But seeing some of these athletes that I grew up rooting for, or as I say, that my career has spanned their entire career. So, for instance, Tom Brady, every year that I've covered the NFL, you know, my career encompasses his career. It's just this different thing when you are so much more familiar with their accomplishments, their achievements, and their journeys because you end up talking about it or covering it extensively as part of the sports media. So that's why it's kind of different, a different experience when these guys go into the halls now. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours. I know we didn't get to the candidates for TD of the week, but we'll do that right after the top of the hour. Still time left to vote, and it was quite a weekend, right? Even for the teams that lost, like Detroit, there were some dazzling TDs. We'll get the reaction of, speaking of Tom Brady, and Bill Belichick, the divisional weekend, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.